Blog Talk Radio.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us all. And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Taking the time to listen with us tonight. We appreciate you being with us as we share preaching, teaching, current events, and even politics. But we do all of this based on a relationship with God. We try to find a way to get people to think outside the box. What makes this your place is the fact that you can share your thoughts and opinions on topics discussed. Just push one on your phone and we'll identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. Tonight, we're going to be sharing a message preached by Brother Glenn Seaman, titled, Living Untroubled in a Troubled Time. To some, this may seem like a simple message, but Wild Bill has noticed that sometimes the simple thoughts escape us. They become words that we know and may even repeat. But do we really believe to the point that we apply the simple thoughts to our lives? How many times have you heard or said to someone, "Don't sweat the small stuff"? The problem is that statement is who decides what is big or small. Tonight we invite you to use God's scales when looking at troubled times. As always, we're taking suggestions for guest speakers and topics to discuss on the show. And now, we'll listen to Brother Glenn Seaman.
I'm in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm just going to put it in my words. I wouldn't lie to you. This is what the Lord would say. I'm not lying. And he said, since there's mansions there, I'm going to go get one ready for you. I'm going to go and make preparations for the day of your arrival. And if I go and prepare that place, I'm going to come and get you to take you where I am that we can be together. And you know where I'm going, and you know the way to get there. This is what I want to preach about today. I want to preach to us today. I want to minister to us today, living untroubled in troubled times. Living untroubled in troubled times. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. Now, to be troubled, we use sometime in the same context as to be afflicted, and vice versa. When someone is troubled, they're in a condition of what we'd call the distress of anxiety or danger or something upsetting. I'm sure today that I won't ask you to raise your hands, but surely there's at least two or three people today that are troubled, that have distress in your life. There's something that's happened maybe even today, this past week, this past month, last year, into the new year. Something has upset you and turned your world upside down. There are so those of us today that have come in this service that we're afflicted, not always in body, but there are some people today that are afflicted in their mind. That doesn't mean that you've lost your mind, but there's mental distress and there's unpleasant happenings in your life. Job declared, he said, "Man is born of woman and a few days full of trouble." It doesn't mean that a few days after you're born, you start having trouble. What Job is saying here is that life in itself is brief. But in this life and through this life and on this journey, you're going to encounter some trouble and afflictions and some problems. He said, we are born into trouble. We are born into sin. You see, nobody here today taught you how to steal the cookie from the cookie jar. Unless it was perhaps your older brother or older sister. But so nobody taught them. Nobody taught you to lie or to say it was one way when it wasn't. We're just born in the nature of sin. We're born in this world to end up in trouble. Brother Carl Dick even mentioned a while ago some of the troublesome things that was in his life. Some of you in the service today brought your trouble and affliction and distress with you into this sanctuary. In the previous chapter that I read, Jesus is giving a discourse. And he who I give the sop to, he's going to betray me. And when that one was gone out, the Lord began to explain to his followers, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm getting out of here. I'm going someplace. And he said, I'm going to do this because I love you. And so Simon said, where you going? Can we follow you? And the Lord said, you can't go right now, but you can come afterwards. Amen. Praise God. Jesus left this earth nearly 2,000 years ago to go to prayer place for us. He said, you can't come right now, but you can come afterwards. Amen. There's going to come a day I'm going to let you come and be where I'm at. But in the meantime, I've got to make some preparations in order when you get there that everything is in order. Amen. Everything is set and just right. Hallelujah. He said to Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to turn your back on me. And I'm going to leave this world. But let me comfort you with this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I do not know what kind of trouble or affliction you came in this sanctuary in today. But if you believe in one God, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, you ought to believe also in me. Because there's one Lord, one God, one Father, who's above all, through all, and in you all. There's still the only one way to Jesus. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to God. Amen. He said, if you're in trouble, don't be troubled. I'm going to calm everything down. The lady with the issue of blood had lived 12 years of distress and affliction and trouble and turmoil. Every door that she knocked on did not open. 12 long years. And finally one day she pressed her way through a crowd and said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I believe that that is God Almighty, and I believe in the healing touch of the Lord. This precious sister back here a while ago told me, she said, I've been looking for somebody to believe God with me and pray for me that God would touch me. I want you to know you've come to a good place today. There's a lot of people that believe that God is our healer, that stripes are on his back, that he still heals all diseases, that he still heals the mind, he still heals cancer, he still heals emotions, he still heals distress. Oh, we can live untroubled in troublesome times. Trials dark on every hand, yet I cannot understand all the ways the Lord would lead to the blessed promised land. Yet I'll understand by and by, because he's going to take me by the hand and lead me through this world. She touched him. Jesus said, who touched me? She shamelessly said, I did. Brother Carl Dick, since the day the Lord touched you, you should never be ashamed of touching him likewise. Since the day he set you free, you should not be ashamed of touching the Lord. I am not ashamed of my God. I'm not ashamed of the way I worship. I'm not ashamed of the way I live. I'm not ashamed of what I preach. I'm not ashamed of my message. Amen. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Now, folks, you can look at me and tell Brother Broussard that my favorite food's comfort food. You know, some folks live to eat. Some folks just eat to live. I'll let you decide which category you want to be in. Praise God. I like food. And food loves me. Amen. Praise God. I've never seen a good meal yet I didn't like. Amen. Praise God. But Jesus said, look, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Amen. You may not eat comfort food today, but in the presence of God, we're being fed spiritual comfort food in the house of God today. Amen. He said, where I'm going, you cannot go, but you can come afterwards. He has gone to comfort. He said, let your heart be not troubled. I am not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. You know why? Because the Lord knew you were going to have some dull days. God knew you was going to have some weeping days. The Lord knew you were going to have some hurting days. So therefore, he caused a man to pick up his pen one time in Psalms 30:5. And he said, right weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You may have come in here weeping, but you can leave here, go rejoicing on your way. You don't have to live in a troubled world and not be troubled. You can live untroubled in troublesome times. Brighter days. I have a little small little place on my computer. Sometime when I close the screen down, I don't know, maybe some of you computer technicians can explain to me why it happens. I don't know and I don't care, because I got the button. Then when it comes back up, if it's not as bright as I want it, I just do the button until it gets like I want it. Some days when we shut the day down, we wake up the next day and things may not be as bright in our lives as we thought they were. Guess what? I don't care. I've got a button. His name is Jesus. And if I can touch him long enough and smart enough and powerful enough, he'll make my days brighter. I may wake up weeping, but weeping's not going to endure forever. For he said, joy, it's going to come in the morning. He said, I tell you what, writer, you pick up your pen and you write Psalms 34:19, because I know that Glenn Seaman somewhere is going to need some deliverance. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Not just a part of them, but he delivers you out of every last one of them. He's not just a part-time deliverer. He's not a percentage deliverer. He's 100% deliverer. He's making a way out of no way when there seems no way. My God is a deliverer. I'm trying my best, Brother White. He said, Isaiah, I tell you what I want you to do, old prophet. I want you to write some comfort food for me. I want you to write about some comfort food. He said, I want you to write Isaiah 42:2. When you pass through the waters, when it seems like it's up to chest high, when it seems like the floods are going to overflow you, when it seems like the trouble is overwhelming and you can't get beyond it, he said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, there shall not be burn, neither shall flame kindle upon you. It is not the will of God for you to be in the condition that you're in if you're not in good spiritual condition. It's not the will of God for you to have the down and outs when the Lord wants you to have the up and in. It's not the will of God for you to come in here stoop-shouldered and bent down and bent over when we have a God like we have. If you believe in God, believe he's a healer. If you believe in God, believe he's a baptizer. If you believe in God, believe he's a supplier of all your needs according to his riches and glory. Stand up. I've been looking for a place to do this. Praise God. I know a little bit about sports, all right? Not as much as I want to know, but I know a little bit. But I want to introduce to you the all-time, all-star, all-American player of Jesus Christ. Now playing quarterback, the starting quarterback for the Family Praise Center is Jesus Christ. He throws a perfect pass every time. There are never any interceptions. There's never any drop balls. He's always right there. Whatever you need, God is able to take care of that. He is a God of comfort. He's given us some comfort food today. It's not God's will for you to be in the condition you're in. Can I preach about three more minutes? Well, y'all know I'm going to do that. Just wonder if I could. I'm going to do it whether you say so or not. When I got in the church, I thought, problem's over. Oh, there's some people like me here? I thought I was an odd duck. I thought when I received the Holy Ghost, I would never have to worry about being in trouble again. Jesus, Brother Carl, told them in the book of Matthew, he said, I tell you what, boys. Now, that's a good old Southern Indiana term, you know. I tell you what, boys. I'm not degrading the Word of God. This is just kind of how the Lord would talk if he's in Southern Indiana. He said, I tell you what, boys. I want y'all to get in that boat, and I want y'all to go to the other side. Okay? Jesus said, Glenn, I want you to get in the church and go to the other side. Now, he didn't tell me that the waters are going to get choppy. He didn't tell me there was going to be boisterous winds. He didn't tell me I was going to get seasick. Amen. But he said, get in the ship and go to the other side. Now, I wasn't in the boat that night, but I think I can talk about it. I feel like if I believed in God, and that was Jesus, and he said, get in this boat and go to the other side, Nathan, I believe we're going to make it. But you know what? We get in the boat, and it goes to tossing and turning and weaving and rocking, and we won't know, my God, why am I in this thing anyhow? Why'd you put me here? What am I doing here? Listen, the Lord said the church is going to the other side. All you got to do is stay in the church, and everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. He's going to take this church to the other side. And in the midst of the storm, when they were reeling and rocking, guess what? Here comes Jesus. Oh, praise God. And he said, hey, now I'm going to be on board. Everything's going to be all right. I remember distinctly my first encounter with Satan. It was a while after I was in the church. In fact, I think in my second year of Bible school. And it got to where, when I prayed, the heavens just weren't shut up. They were on vacation. They went out of business. And I searched my heart. I hadn't done anything wrong except pulling a few tricks at Bible school. But you know, surely you're not going to go to hell pulling a few pranks, are you? If you are, you young people are in trouble when you go to camp. You best not come to camp anymore. You're going to be lost for going to camp. No, I'm not giving you a license. I just know you're going to do it. I've been there, done that. Amen. And so I prayed and prayed and prayed. Couldn't get through. Couldn't fit anything. Finally, one night, we were walking. Texas, and it's kind of hot. I had my jacket over my shoulder. We were leaving the chapel service. My roommate walked up and said, hey, buddy, I said, how about me and you going to the prayer room tonight and pray till you touch God? And I said, yeah. I mean, I wanted to go, no. I did. You know, our flesh didn't want that. But when I made that commitment, we went to the prayer room. We've been praying about 5 minutes. I prayed through and touched God. I went to him on shore and I said, let's go. He said, what? You got to pray through. I said, it's time to go to bed. God said, go to bed. Hallelujah. I remember that. I distinctly remember that. Amen. You were tossed to and fro, and here comes Jesus, and he said, be of good cheer. It's me. Be not afraid. You may be tasting bitter waters today. You may be taking in flood waters, but I want you to know Jesus is going to come walking by, and he's going to get on your boat. He's going to get on your ship. Thessalonians says, be not shaken in mind or troubled in spirit, and let no man deceive you by any means. I'm not talking about somebody pulling a rabbit out of the hat. I'm not talking about somebody pulling some kind of magic or some kind of voodoo on you. I'm not talking about abracadabra and abracazoo and all that stuff. I'm talking about a God who knows how to calm your storm, who knows how to bring you out, and who knows how to deliver you. The message hasn't changed. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same, amen. We need to earnestly contend for the faith, amen. It's still Jesus' name, water baptism, repentance in the name of the Lord. It's still talking in God. It's still talking in tongues. Jesus said, you believe in God? Believe in me. You know what Elisha did when he met the first encounter? After he had Elijah's mantle, he used what he had. And what he had was the mantle of the man of God that had just left. Amen. And he walked and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And smote the waters. Amen. When he got into an impossible situation, he used what he had been given. You may think you're in an impossible situation today, but let me just tell you, if you will use what God has given you and make preparations, everything will be all right. Your world may be upside down. You may be tossed and turned on every hand. Amen. But I want you to know that Jesus said, let your heart be not troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if Jesus is going to prepare a place for me, I need to get ready to go there. I need to get in the bride, and I need to stay in the bride. Hello? I'm just not talking about a one-time experience. I'm talking about continually. Did you know that the three Hebrew boys prepared for the fire before they were thrown in the fire? They refused to bow. They refused to bend. They refused to worship those gods. They worshiped the Lord God Almighty. And when they got in the fire, Jesus was there in the midst of them because they made preparation. Daniel prepared for the lion's den before he was ever thrown in. He continued to pray. Even when there was a decree put out, he kept praying. Amen. Praise God. I'm about to hot to death. Whatever that means. Amen. Praise God. He said, look. He said, hey, come here. Honey, give me a second. You, yeah. My wife, please. Praise God. Come here. I don't mean to embarrass you. Should have told us going to do this. Come here a second. Amen. It didn't quite happen like this. But one day, I said, I want you to spend the rest of your life with me. Guess what? She said, no, she didn't think about it. She said, 40 years later, I'm glad I did. Amen. But it didn't quite happen like this. But it usually happens this way. Usually the man gets down on his knees and he says, will you? And he gives her the ring and she says, yes. Jesus, he said, I'm thinking, Jesus went to the cross and he got blood come out of his side. He took stripes on his back. And you know what he says? He says, I tell you what, how about let's get engaged? How about let's get married? How about, I know you girls are hoping for that. I know you did. You're next in line. Tell your daddy to get his pocketbook ready. It's a whole lot cheaper to marry off boys than his girls. I promise you, I've done one of each. It's gone. But one of these days, darling, somebody, some little boy is going to come along just like your daddy did to your grandpa. So to remind him when that guy comes along, okay? I'm going to help you out a little bit. You know, you owe Brother Seaman, praise God. And he's going to come along and he says, hey, how about me and you spending the rest of our life together? And she's going to say, and my dad. Right? And dad's going to say, he's going to weep and cry and say, yeah. He's going to say, son, can you support a family? And he's going to say, well, I really just want to support her. Amen. He's going to say yes. And they're going to get married. One day, March 24th, 1964, Jesus said, Brother Mark, wait, he said, hey, Glenn Seaman, how about me and you getting engaged? He said, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. If you'll fall in love with me, I'll start fixing you a mansion. Well, I literally lived in a house that the wallpaper was peeling off. The roof leaked. The outside needed painting. It was very poor condition. That sounded pretty good to me. Jesus is preparing us a place. In the Old Testament, when they got engaged, the husband went away to get a place ready to take the bride. And when he got it all ready, he come back to get her. Now, the only reason I know the Lord hadn't come and got us yet, he hadn't got all our mansions ready yet. But I'm going to tell you what, one of these days, he's going to get everything ready. And he's going to say to the trumpet blower, I don't want no organ music for this wedding march. I don't want no bass. I don't want any guitar. I don't want any drums. We're going to use a trumpet, hallelujah. We're going to start the wedding march with a trumpet. And the trumpet of God shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are still making preparations are going to go to ever be with the Lord. He's saying, get ready. Here I come. I'm coming, whether you're ready or not. And when I get ready, you better be ready.
Hallelujah. My Lord.
If you're not ready, you should get ready.
Wow.
If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm pretty sure back up there, there's some water. There's at least two or three of us preachers around here. I think we can get you dunked.
Amen.
I baptized a doctor-to-be. He's a doctor in Indianapolis right now. I baptized that boy in southern Indiana in a little old rural country church back in about 1972. At that time, he had made 1B in his entire school career. And he said, if God will help me, it'll never happen again. What was that guy's name? I can't think. Bill Gentry. So if any of you folks know Dr. Gentry in Indianapolis, walk up to him. I promise you, ladies, if you go see him, ask him, you know Glenn Seaman? I promise you, he'll say, I sure do. Amen. We had a lady in our church in Columbus, went to see him. And for the examination, she said, Doctor, do you know Glenn Seaman? He said, yeah, I do. How do you know him? Well, his daughter and I are good friends. He's the district secretary of our district. He comes to our church. He said, Glenn Seaman baptized me in the name of Jesus, and I got the Holy Ghost under his ministry. Hey, when he got baptized, baptism was so good to him. He went all the way to IU and come back the next weekend. And old Bill was just back there clapping his hands, just doing our thing. And I went back, I said, hey, Bill, I said, don't you want the Holy Ghost? He said, oh, Brother Seaman, I feel so good at repentance and baptism. He said, man, it feels great. I said, well, you haven't got the cherry on top yet. Amen. He said, you mean there's more? I said, yeah. He felt so good. I want to tell you something. You will feel great at baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord washing away your sins. And you'll feel greater when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the supernatural evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. Amen. He said, we're engaged. I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to pick on Brother Carl Dick. Was you high on drugs tonight you come to church? You can tell the truth to stay in the church. Don't answer that question. I know you don't. But you know, Brother Dick, Carl, I met a man when I was pastoring in Greensburg. And you know, he'd get drunk, want to talk to me. And he'd get sober, didn't want to talk to me. One night he'd come to church drunk as Cooter. And I don't know how drunk Cooter is, but that's how drunk you get in Oakdale, where I'm from. And old Lloyd came to church. And he made the mistake of coming up front and praying. And he made another mistake. He said, I think I'd like to get baptized. I said, good deal, Lucille. Let's go. You mean you're going to baptize a drunk? Yeah, it's the only way you can sober him up. Brother Youngblood, he was so drunk, literally, that when we were back there changing our clothes, I about got drunk on the smell. And I, you know, confession's good for the soul. You know, you won't confess, but I will. You know, some of us have been a little loopy-legged in here before. And I baptized him in Jesus' name. And he come out of the water, Brother Crowder, and he started talking in tongues. And he shouted in that water, amen. And he's praising God. We went back to change our clothes. He said, you know what, Brother Seaman? He said, this is the third time in my life I've ever been baptized. He said, the first two times I didn't feel anything. He said, He said, I don't even smell drunk. You know what? He wasn't even drunk anymore. He stunk so bad when he come into that tank. I couldn't hardly stand it. That's what the name of the Lord will do for you today. And if you're here and need to be baptized in Jesus' name, we'll get it done in the name of Jesus. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you're troubled on every hand and don't know what to do, do what the psalmist said. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy namesake, for thy righteousness. Bring my soul out of trouble. Amen. Now, y'all don't mind if I brag a little bit, do you? Praise God. Where's Avery? Come here a minute, Vivi. Where's Aubrey? Come here, Aubrey. Praise God. Come here, Pep Boy. Come here, Pep Boy. I want to embarrass you. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me tell you something. When this little boy was born, amen, they so shocked me with his name that I walked out and sat on the stool. My wife, she said, you're shocked. I said, yeah. She said, I can tell. They named him after my daddy. And they named his second name after two of his great-grandpas who was preachers. A lot of joy, a lot of happiness. When this little darling come along, I had him in the car with me one day, and we were going to get some flowers for his Nana because it was near Valentine's, and some flowers for his Aunt Kim. And I made a phone call to the church, and they said, Brother Seaman, we're trying to get a hold of you. Your grandbaby's turning blue. I drove, honestly, folks, and if I got caught, too bad. I was going 16, 80 miles an hour in Columbus. We get to the hospital, and they had to take this little darling to Raleigh, and the nurse told us some shocking news. She may not make it to Raleigh. But, you know, she just had a fifth birthday today. We had a great time, didn't we? Praise God. Thank God for having that boy. You can sit down. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. Praise bright. It was bright days, but then it came dark days, and then you heard me preach about Kerrigan. You've heard that story. And now I preach about Delaney. Amen. You see, I want to tell you something today. There's been some dark days in my life, but Jesus has never failed me. He's always brought me through. He's always made a way. You know why? I'm going to tell you. You know why? Because me and Jesus are engaged. We're going to get married. I'm not slipping around dating no crow. I'm not slipping around with a weed between my fingers. Hello? I'm engaged to Jesus. And he said, you better keep our engagement pure because I'm going to go fix you a mansion. Yeah, you're going to have trouble. Yeah, you're going to have ups and downs. Yeah, you're going to have losses. But you're going to come out on top. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to live untroubled in this old troubled world. Everything is going to be fine. For the Lord himself, he's not going to send no proxy to get me. He's not going to send no representative. He's coming himself. And so, shall we ever be with the Lord? The psalmist said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. It means he was distressed in mind, in circumstances, afflicted, distressed, and afflicted. Amen. If you don't have peace, nor you do not know the Prince of Peace, you can know it today, free from mental disturbance. Amen. There's an old song that I've been trying, Brother Mark, to get the whole words of, but I can't get it. But it goes something like this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm just passing through, amen. I just passed through here long enough to get baptized in Jesus' name. I just passed through long enough to feel the feeling of the Holy Ghost. I'm just passing through here long enough to live for a while, shout for a while, talk in tongues for a while, and then go to my wedding and get my wedding garment on. This world is not my home. There's treasures laid up somewhere that I do not even know about. Angels beckon me. There are angels right now. There are angels right now. Come on, Brother Mark. There are angels right now that are beckoning you to a place of prayer. There are angels that are beckoning you to a place of dedication. There are angels that are beckoning you to an eternal home. It's saying, come on. It's free. I was here the day that Brother Shadon passed out the Starbucks cards. I noticed none of y'all tried to give yours to me. You said you got your own. Yeah, but the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So does Brother Seaman. I didn't notice any of us that said, nah, I don't want one. I come running down the aisle when they call my name. I don't know if you noticed or not. I got a 2004 Avalon XLS. It's a very nice car. Compliments of the district. But it has a problem. Same problem with that Passat. You're going to find out. So if you don't know, I'm going to tell you. It stops at all Starbucks. Same problem. Some cars, some haven't. Some of you cars haven't. Some of you don't. Amen. But Jesus today is not passing out Starbucks cards. He's passing out the gift of life. Free. Let your heart be not troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, 60, almost 61 years old. Proud of it. I'm 60. You didn't think I could do that, did you? I'm 60. I can't do it quite as high as him, but I can. 60. Praise God. If we're not having fun yet, we should be. Amen. I know I have enough sense to know if I live several more years that I'm going to encounter some more trouble. It's just life. But there's something about the peace of God that the Bible says it passeth all understanding. Elder Brother Shadon and I made a couple of trips to Louisiana a few years ago. We solved all life's problems between 12 and 3 o'clock every Saturday, Friday morning. We'd leave Alexandria at midnight because of the times. I would always drive first because I knew the way back to the Jackson, Mississippi interstate better than him. Amen. And he'd ride shotgun, keep me awake. Then the next time around, he'd drive. I'd keep him awake. Amen. Then I slept the rest of the time. Amen. Praise God. But you see, those other three fellas, they would have had trouble. They'd had to look at a map. But I've made that journey in the past 33 years so much that I can just almost put my car on automatic pilot when I get ready to go to Louisiana. In fact, after about a couple of months of the new cars the district buy me, you can put an automatic pilot and it goes to the campgrounds on its own. It just goes. I get in and say, second home, okay. Home away from home. All right. He said, Brother Seaman, I have difficulty finding my way. Let me drive you today. Let me show for you. There's a group of people here that will pray with you today. If you come in here disturbed in all this worship and praise and everything we've had and you haven't quite got the peace of God yet, we're going to give you another opportunity in the name of Jesus. Amen. He said, Brother Seaman, you just know nobody knows my trouble. That's right, and nobody needs to know but Jesus. Unless you choose to tell somebody. He already knows what he wants you to do is give it to him. And as we stand today in this sanctuary, all across the house of God, whatever it is you need to give to Jesus, whatever it is disturbing you, you don't need to come and tell you, Brother Seaman, this is what's disturbing me, or Brother White, or Brother Dick, this is what's disturbing me, or one of the other ministers here, this is what. No. All I want you to do is make your way to this front. And this is going to be an individual time for you to talk to Jesus. Now, Jesus, you already know my ship's being tossed and turned. But I tell you what I'm going to do right now, Lord. I'm going to do myself a big favor. Okay? I'm going to give it to you. Isn't it great just to pass out duties? You know, I love it at the campgrounds and I say, go do this and go do that. I think it's great. I think it's just great. Great because I don't have to do it, and great I get somebody else to do it. Would you mind? They really would, but they're not fixing to say no. You know, they might grumble, but they go get it done. Amen. I'm sure that Brother and Sister Bell, they don't get excited every day about picking up the trash. But they pick it up. Somebody got to pick it up. It'd be a messy campgrounds if they didn't. Amen. I'm glad they do. That means I don't have to do it. No, well, it really means I don't have to find somebody else to do it. So you too good to pick up the trash? Nope. I kind of live by the philosophy most of the time, why do something, you get somebody else to do it for you. That's the point we're wanting to get to. Why carry these burdens when you get somebody else to carry them for you? You say, you're a little smart act, a little cocky. No, I'm just trying to be cute. I'm just trying to be funny. Amen. God hears what's bothering me. And Lord, you said from my heart not to be troubled, that you're going to prepare a place for me.
Well, that was an awesome message. I really enjoyed that. I hope you all did, too. Blog Talk Mom? Well, Bob Bill? Are you there?
I'm here.
I think we lost Blog Talk Mom for a minute.
I really enjoyed that message. I kind of hate the parts of it. He got really low away from the microphone there. And it's, but, you know, I don't know about the people that are listening, but I know many times I look at that story with the disciples being out in the boat in the water, and I look at my life, and I see many times to where, okay, I try to think the things that I know. We're in a storm. We're in a boat. Okay, the bow of the boat needs to be facing into the waves, and, you know, I need to put an anchor over here to hold it, and maybe I need to, you know, put some more rudder into it, some more sail, or maybe I need to try to get on the oars to try to speed up the boat so I'm actually moving faster than the wind and the water so I got some ability to steer. And it seems like it's only after I exhaust all those things that I can do within myself that there, when nothing else works, I find myself wanting to cry out to Jesus. Sometimes seek to be troubled. I'm looking for reasons to be anxious. I'm trying to understand why all my efforts are not working on things, and never realize that, you know, all we got to do is invite Jesus in at the beginning. You know, I love what you said about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was some preparation in their lives before they were thrown in the fiery furnace. They had made up their mind to some things. You know, the disciples, they were all scared, you know, until Jesus came in. But when we forget that we can ask Jesus to come in. You know, he says he'll never leave us, never forsake us. He's always with us. You know, he's omnipresent. But when we acknowledge that and accept that he's there and hand these situations to him, we can know that all things are going to work together for our good. But during times of trouble, that's one of my least favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's one of those things that, you know, you feel like it's someone trying to slap you in the face with a wet fish when you're going through a hard time, and they quote that for you. And it's because a lot of times that we forget the things that we should remember, and we remember things that we should forget. And like the audio book that I've been sharing with Starla, when we really realize our part in all this is for God's glory, not our glory, and it's going to work for our good for eternity, but it doesn't mean it's all going to work for our good here. As many times as you hear of a situation of a dark storm to where God moved in and someone was healed, we don't talk about it and share it as much, but just as many times God moved in to the situation, but it was meant for that person to pass on. And we have a hard time with that. We say, yo, victory, victory, when it works out to how we want it to be. And then we're like, oh, what is wrong when things don't work out the way we want it to be? And we forget that he's God in the good just as much as he's God in the bad. That he's a God who loves us no matter what is coming our way, with a love that goes beyond all understanding. And if we don't realize that, if we don't prepare, if we don't get in that boat and we don't set the course to the other side, as it was, he brought out so well talking about the disciples, then who can we blame when we don't reach our destination? Well, we want to take this scripture and say, yeah, I like this, and I don't want to take this scripture here, or I want to say, you know, well, we're in living in a time to where we have more knowledge, where we understand that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it well, where it's all about your thoughts, your feelings, and we take God completely out of it. We just throw his name out there, and then we take scriptures where it talks about like the Ten Commandments, to not take God's name in vain, and we try to put a meaning of that. Well, it means not to curse, or use a curse word with God's name in it, or just throw his name out there where it really doesn't fit. But if we also look at it to where we just throw God's name out there, and we're not letting him apply his love to our life, not letting him apply his power to our life, but we're not allowing him to change us from where we are to help us to get where we need to be to get on the other side, because God is not going to marry a harlot. He's not going to marry someone that's going to two-time on him. It's not going to be a marriage of convenience. It's not going to be a marriage because he has to. God has chose a bride that's going to be pure and holy and accepted the gifts of the new garments he's given us, that's allowed him to come in and do a life-changing experience in each and every person's life. And I just pray that something in this word tonight touches each and every person that listens now and future to realize that there's a day coming, that there is a real God, and he does care, and he does love, but he's going to take the one that say, yes, it's me, I want to be there. We can get all excited about a free Starbucks card or a gift card or a contest of some sort at church, or maybe even as an athlete that we like that may win something in a sport that he plays in or achieves greatness. But when we realize that we need to have that much more joy, enthusiasm, and passion to the things of God, and not look around at other people and say, well, they're on the team, why aren't they doing this? And how is it they can do these things over here? When we look at it and realize that I choose to put value, that God put value on me, that I want to be part of that bride, not because of what others are doing, not to follow after other people, because you see a mark, you see a goal, you see a prize that's there before you that is much more than a mansion, because a mansion without Jesus is not going to be anything close to if you had to live in a shack with having the presence of God in your life. And when we realize that, and when we lock in on it, and when we believe it with all that's within us, and those words that come out of our mouth is what's coming from our heart, that's where we're going to find the difference. And that's what I hope this message spoke to other people that were out there. And I just, when I heard this message, I've listened to it a couple of times, it so encouraged me. And it also just, you know, kind of gave me that nudge a little bit to realize there's angels. When we start to do bad, they're saying, no, hey, listen to the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, maybe you got a praying mother or grandmother or aunt or uncle or a preacher, someone that's in church that loves you, and they're praying, and God sends angels to try to lead and guide and keep us out of those things. I know in my life when I was younger, there's so many times and so many things that I did where I should have died, where my life should have been over. And there was times to where all of a sudden I felt the presence of God just out of blue in my world. And maybe it caused me to slow down before I'd go around a curve, and there'd be an accident there where the whole road was blocked. And there's no way I could have stopped if I hadn't felt that stirring of God. And there may have been times where I didn't feel anything, but God sent angels to protect me to where there were situations that came into my life, like when I was a policeman and this guy was a professional criminal and I didn't know it. And he was trying to pull his gun out from underneath the seat of that car, but he'd wrapped it so tight in his shoulder holster, and it got hung, the straps got hung up underneath the seats of that car. And I wasn't living for God then. And God knew that I had a praying mother that was praying for me, and he had mercy, and he sent angels. And he's like, no, not now. I see something further down the road for this young man. It may be later on in his life before he responds, but I'm going to do the things that I started in his life. The seed that was planted is going to come forth with fruit, and it's going to be something for my glory that I can use where he can be a vessel that can reach out to others in a way that maybe no other person can do. And that's because it's God's plan, not because it was my plan. And I'm so thankful for that. Well, anyway, so I'll turn it back over to you if you got anybody else.
Well, we have Blog Talk Mom. He's back with us. How are you doing, Blog Talk Mom?
I'm so glad. I'm sorry my phone disconnected a while ago, but I got right back on. Thank you, Wild Bill, for those added comments. Were so powerful, and Sister Starlet Doorbell and I have been bragging on you for what a wonderful job you've been doing bringing the program together. She told me she knew how difficult it was, and I am really in the same line of thought that this program. I want to share a little testimony. I'm working in a town away from my house, helping in a school, a private school, and I came last night. I'm staying in an RV. When I got here, you could smell gas. The propane was running out, and the office has a real strong odor. I didn't have any hot water, and I didn't have any heat, and it was really cold. And so I'm sitting thinking, you know, it's late at night. I don't see well at night, so just what do I do, you know? And like Wild Bill was talking about, I started to put my Mr. Fix-It hat on and think, you know, well, I could do this or I could do that or I could do whatever. And I thought, why don't I just get real still and just let God let me lead me in what he wants me to do and know that all things will work together for my good. There's purposes and everything. So I go to school this morning and I met with the principal, and there's a situation that's arrived with a young man. His dad's been sent to prison for 10 years yesterday, and he's very disturbed, a lot of other circumstances. So I just took him in, and I was beginning to open the Word of God to him, and I began to say and do things that were way beyond my ability. And I thought, you know, this is God. I'm not doing this. I'm just a vessel right here. Tonight we had church there in revival. This young man was baptized in Jesus' name. And the power of God was all over him. And, you know, what if I had just given in to the circumstances and gone home? Or, you know, done something to be out of place today? Because God has, according to this message and everything Wild Bill said, if it's a storm, if it's whatever we're going through, if it's heartache, if it's being crushed, being laid by heartache and the news that comes to us from different sources, if we really can put our trust in God and be that bride that is faithful, then all things will definitely work for good because God said it and God cannot lie. I really appreciate the program. Thank you very, very much.
Well, I saw something today that really fits with this program. It said sometimes when things are falling apart, they may actually be falling into place. And that is so like God.
Amen.
When our world is falling apart, it may lead us to, you know, greater things for us or greater things for somebody else.
That's so hard, we as humans, to really believe that, you know, because you know, maybe not everybody else doesn't, but when it seems like that all the blessings are coming my way, then wow, you know, this is good. But when it doesn't look that way and the storm is all around, but to know that he can just say, peace, be still. That doesn't mean necessarily the storm will go away, but he'll keep us through the storm. Thank you so much for this program.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom, for always being here and being a part of this show. And, you know, we like that scripture where we read where Jesus leaves the 99 to go after the one when we think about we are the one. But when we stop and think about the 99 that he has to leave because he's already established something in us, he's got us on the right path. He's got us in a safe place. You know, a lot of times we don't like that part. You know, we don't like that process of, you know, all of a sudden a feeling like that, you know, we got to stand on our own, you know, 2 feet or 4 feet as a lamb, I guess. But it's just real important for us to understand that it's one thing to come to God to start a relationship with him, but it's another thing to continue to walk with God, to continue to grow, to continue to be led, to continue to be nurtured, to understand that at one point we've surrendered our life and to where we were pretty much allowing ourselves to be used as a vessel to help those that are lost. If we really realized at one point that really our life should not matter to us at that point, that it's all at whatever the Almighty God chooses for us, that let us do the work that he wants to perform to reach out to those that are lost, but man, that's a mouthful. We all want to think of ourselves as being the one that's important, that it's always about us. And so many times we spend a lot of time into having to repent for the same thing over and over, making the same mistakes over and over and over, justifying actions that we know are wrong, but because we can justify it and make it sound practical, it's okay. Because we don't want to stand on our own. We like being that baby. We like being that center of attention. And but I just want to thank, you know, both you, Starla, and Joy Bells for getting this whole show even kicked off. Starla, do you got anybody else before you sign us off?
Yes, we have Joy Bells with us. Hello, Joy Bells.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear you.
Well, it's good to be heard. You've been doing such a good job. Like Mama said, we've been talking behind your back.
Oh, thank you.
I love the tone of your voice since you have fully accepted your calling. You sound so good.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
On the other subject, I and Mama can vouch for it because I have been going through like a sickness and heartbreak, like different levels of the process and stuff about the divorce. Some more stuff came up about that, feeling all rejected and sad. But I think it's precious. I think it's easier than the alternative. Everybody always says, but that's so hard to actually do. It's a lot easier than not doing it, to just trust, you know, everything that you believe. Then it's, you know, a good example, like when Daddy was dying. Whenever I'm in a clinch situation like that and I'm really going through something that hurts, then I do step into some kind of grace where I have just absolute faith and everything's so obvious that that nothing is random, that everything is working together perfectly. I think I forget it during the smooth times.
There's some real depth in what you're saying there, Joy. You know, one of the things that I've walked through this last few months to realize is this, you can almost get the same attitude in just giving up as you can as giving up and giving things to God. And then when I realized the danger of that all of a sudden you realize, well, there's not anything I can do about this. I just give up. And we can become where we're just satisfied with that mentality, because something about there's a little bit of peace in just giving up and just acknowledging I can't do it. But when you compare that to the peace of giving up and giving it to God and knowing that we can stand upon His promises.
Yeah, you know that it's all exactly right and good, that He is in control and it's all exactly right and good. And that's extremely comforting.
Yeah. And to know that God's time is not our time, because I know looking at my life from some of the things from my youth to some of the things there in the middle, if I'd have been God, I'd have wrote me off. You know, that love and mercy, when you see how He applies it to us as individuals, it truly is beyond all comprehension and understanding. But I'm so thankful that we have a God that loves us that much.
Me too.
That He knows the hair that falls from our head.
When we look at each other too.
Yeah.
He loves us all unconditionally. I mean, I guess there's conditions in a way, but you know what I mean. Not to the love. So there.
So there. I'm great. Good. When I exalt myself in a situation where I don't know how to explain it except that, you know, I get all desperate to do and get and make and whatever, instead of just, you know, getting a grip and just
hold on, because God is in control. You know, it's his idea. And as Joy says, he's got the whole universe that he can do whatever he wants to with it.
Yeah, and it's not random. Yeah, it's not random. Like, we've already been carrying that pain around anyway. So it coming up to the surface and being able to be dealt with, and a wound that Lord knows how long old it is, being able to come up to the light and heal is a good thing. It's not particularly pleasant, but in a way, it kind of is. Sweet. There's a sweetness in it.
Like you said, it's a whole lot better than the alternative. You know, if we fight it and we don't receive it and we don't accept it, then we're sure not going to get what the good out of whatever we're going through.
Yeah, and you use a lot more energy, yeah.
I like that. Every once in a while when I'm just in a certain frame of mind that's working against myself, there'll be this, I don't know if it's an eagle or a hawk or whatever it is, but he's sailing up there and not even looking like he's moving a feather. And he's just sailing across. And he's letting the wind carry him. You know, he's just letting that draft. And I thought, you know, Lord, I'm going to let you carry me for a while because my wings are tired. I doubt if I have any wings, actually.
Anyway, like what Wild Bill was talking about earlier, anything good that does happen, that's God anyway. It's a bunch of slapping that's not even doing anybody any good.
Yeah, like Keith Green's song said, if I do something good, let me be very careful not to try to wear a crown.
I like Keith Green.
Yeah, what was that one the preacher said one time? Y'all all bless me while I sing or praise me while I sing, you know, before I get that attitude sometimes.
Funny.
Well, it sounds like you guys are kind of winding down. So, did we have anybody else?
No.
That's
I can't believe you needed more than that. Okay. What are we, cottage cheese, Mama?
Yeah.
Hey.
It's very hard for me right now not to just drift off into chatting, because I'd like to talk to y'all, but I think that we should not do it on the show, huh?
We'll get four-way calling one of these days, and
this brings new meaning to the word party line.
I want to say a bunch of things to you about being a bona fide teacher, Richard.
I'm sorry, you kind of broke up. I'm up here in Kentucky in the hills of the eastern side of the state, so I'm getting a little static right now.
Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi. We got the South covered. I said that I'm wanting to talk to you about your accepting your calling and all that.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that it's really interesting. It's funny. I used to get people ask me if I wanted to preach all the time, since I accepted it. Did that one message, no one's asked me since then, so I guess they're like, man, they've heard enough. No, I'm just playing. But it's, I do have, you know, different things that, you know, God's been dealing with me to come to mind. But it's funny, after that point, when you realize that the process, we talk about it all the time, is that I'm realizing that God's bringing me into seeing things through sermons I'm hearing, books that I'm reading.
Yeah.
To come to a more personal understanding of my relationship with God.
Yeah, that's reflecting in the show. Right, Mama?
Right. Everything becomes a lot.
Whatever's going on with Starla, she's turning into a personality on the show. You're getting professional time in Starla.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate your confidence and kind words.
You've got a really good voice. See, don't y'all wish you would have hung up? This doesn't go with the show. I'm just wanting to brag on y'all.
Well, we lost Wild Bill. everybody needs encouragement. So that's good.
Well, I really appreciate you guys' encouragement. I just couldn't do this without you guys. I'm serious.
Remember, I believe you, especially Mama, the fact that she's always got exactly on-point comments to make. Yeah. I can remember that panicky feeling whenever there would be nobody there and I would have nothing to say. Nothing is as dead as that air, is it, Starla?
Yes. I've never been one of those unfortunate people that their phone goes off in service, but as I told you, Joy Bells, I was going to set my phone, and I turned it down, thought I had everything fixed. So right as the preacher takes a breath and everything gets very quiet, my phone goes off.
And, wow.
But anyway, I already told them all. I said, I'm leaving at 9 o'clock unless, you know, unless the Lord really is directing some other way. But it worked out. I got here. It was a little bit, a few minutes late, but I got ready for the broadcast. It means so much to me. It really does. I've been able to share so many things with other people that I receive from the broadcast. You know, the promise that God gave me about Joy Bells and Wild Bill, actually, that wasn't out when exactly, but my daughter would be a cornerstone, and in this program alone, she's been a cornerstone. Because if she hadn't gotten into it and really sort of encouraged us all along the way, it just probably would have never happened. So
no,
she's got
no,
that in
I
it.
Don't think would have.
And I've got a daughter-in-law, and just putting it all together, sounding like a pro.
Tipping over whether she wanted to or not.
What was that?
She tipped it over whether she wanted to or not, and I appreciate it.
Chicken and screaming. I really appreciate your help with it. We have Wild Bill back. You going to join in the wind-up conversation here? Wild Bill?
I'm in a spot where I can't hear very well, and I got disconnected, thought I'd call back in. But I do want to thank everybody who takes time to listen to this show. And as we've always said, if it only touches, you know, one person, you know, it's worth the effort and time that, you know, that Starla and I put into trying to put this out each week. And we're so thankful for those that I don't even know who you are because there's no way to tell, but we're getting a lot of listening after the show is recorded. So I don't know if it's a bad time for people or it's just really convenient to be able to download the shows and listen to them, you know, maybe during their day or something. But I just want to thank everyone for doing this and just really want to encourage people to just take time to get their Bible down and actually just, if you don't know about the things of God and some of the things we talk about here, just ask Him about it. You know, God's not an author of confusion. And there may be some things that's different than what you may hear in your home church. And, but, you know, I don't claim to be the expert on any of these things. And, but we do encourage people to seek after that relationship with God. Ask Him. Look at His Word. Study it. You know, try to do your own preparations because when it does come to judgment day or when your time on this earth is over, it's based on your experience with God. It's not based on your experience with your place or a church or a pastor or anything like that. You don't have to worry about being disloyal to something. You may have someone you love that tells you some other way. You just have to follow after what God shows you, and He will lead you into all truth. I believe that with all my heart. There's so many churches out there that I know that there are people that are sincere. I got a friend of mine that he goes to a church that believes a little bit different than what I believe. But one of the things that always blows me away is in their area where they live, they pull together musicians from several different denominational faiths, and they put these special singings together, and they get there and they worship God. And it's amazing how some of these people have actually decided to leave the church where they were because of the presence of God, that they feel even more powerful, and the difference in the worship and the Pentecostal background service where it is. But we live in a time where we want to say we're right and other people are wrong, and where we put up walls to keep people out. We say we don't judge people what we do. And, you know, I'm just, some of the things that I'm seeing with this friend of mine I find very refreshing, and I'm thankful that God has put these things in my path to be a part of what's going on, even with this other work. And I just pray that each and every one of you, that you take time to just know that God wants to bless you. He wants you to have more than what you have in your life right now, and walking in a spiritual walk with Him. And Blog Talk Mom and Joy, I can't thank you guys enough. There would not be Blog Talk Radio with your place if it wasn't for Joy Bell seeing this, getting the information on it, and getting us involved in putting this together. So I thank all of you. I'm humbled that we are the ones that get to host this each and every week and to try to bring something to you that touches our heart, and we just pray that it touches yours.
It does.
With that said, if I'm still here, Charlotte, it's all yours.
I want to thank everybody for listening this week, and we are praying that you have a very blessed week, and we'll see you right here next week at your place. Good night.